your source for all things winning,
for all things racing,
for all things handicapping.
XBTV is your source.
Jeff Siegler and Rick Rusey here at the XBTV desk, and we're walking the back stretch, and of course we're going to talk Belmont Stakes 150 and Justify's 13th Triple Crown winner, and a big win at that, taking the field wire to wire from the rail. Jeff, where's his place in history after watching? I don't even know if we realize where his place is just 3 days after the Belmont Stakes, but as of right now, this show, where is his place in history as an undefeated Triple Crown champion?
See, I think that there are a couple of things that are in play here. One is that he is only the second undefeated Triple Crown winner, going back to Seattle Slough. And the other thing is, all of this has happened in such a compressed amount of time. I don't think a lot of people appreciate in this day and age just how difficult and how unlikely it would be. We all talked about the Apollo curse for winning the Kentucky Derby, but that has nothing on winning the Triple Crown as well.
Yeah.
You can win the Derby, but you got to go out and win the Preakness and the Belmont as well. So when you examine Justify's not only performance, but his accomplishment of coming back and doing all this in 111 days, it has to rank not only as one of the great thoroughbred racing feats in modern times, but I don't think a lot of people have given Bob Baffert enough credit for pulling this off. There are very few trainers who would have even attempted it, and yet not only did he try it, he had the horse to do it, he had the organization to do it, he had the plan to do it. Now, he's been there and done that, so he had that experience as well. And I don't know of too many trainers, if any, could have pulled this off other than Bob Baffert.
I'm not sure. I'm gonna add on to that. You said in modern times. I think this is by far and away the biggest feat in thoroughbred racing in modern times. Because I don't have a whole lot of perspective of the Secretariats and the Spectacular Bids. I just don't. That wasn't my era. It was, however, yours. So when you look back at Secretariat and what he did and what he meant to racing on the cover of Time magazine, back when there were magazines that were printed and sold,
right?
There aren't really anymore, but
well, Sports Illustrated has them on the cover, Justify. They will.
But how many people buy Sports Illustrated now? Not many. They all read it online. My point is, of this modern era in thoroughbred racing, I guarantee this is the best thing that's ever happened, the biggest thing that's ever happened. And I don't know if it's truly appreciated until 20 years from now, when we look back and see that it's almost impossible to happen again.
A couple of things, though, I think that might be affected by this. I think a lot of trainers and owners will now look and say, "And well, Justify won the Derby. He didn't start till after his three-year-old season began, so maybe we can do that as well." There haven't been
good
that.
Luck with that.
Well, I understand, but I mean, the bottom line is that it's now been done, but it took a horse as great as Justify to do that. In terms of Justify's ability, natural talent, compared to even American Pharoah, I think most people, if you looked at his Triple Crown, I'm talking about Justify's Triple Crown, you'd probably say that American Pharoah was better in his Triple Crown than Justify was, simply because of the way he won his races. Justify didn't run off and hide from anybody in all three of his Triple Crown races. I mean, the biggest margin of victory was what he accomplished in the Belmont, which was 1 3/4 length. So he didn't completely dominate like other Triple Crown horses have. But what he did do was something that was almost unheard of. Well, it was unheard of until this year, and that is not only win the Derby having not started as a two-year-old, but then taking all of those races and compress it into 111 days, that shows me durability. You have to be a very smart, a very easily trained type of horse. You have to be a cooperative horse. You can't have anything issue. He had one little problem with his foot after the Preakness. Other than that, he's been sound, which is part of being a great horse. I mean, I just think the accomplishment for horse and trainer and jockey and everybody involved is miraculous.
You know, you compared American Pharoah and Justify, and I've done the same thing over the last 3 days, and there's one common theme with both of them is they made their own trips. They put themselves into the race early on. And that's a credit to them. That is not something where, wow, they didn't have any trouble. Well, they didn't have to. They put themselves into the race early on. They took their race to the field when they started. And they always sat good trips. And that's a credit to them. Again, I'm not knocking them. I'm not saying they won with adversity. They made their own trips. And to me, that's very important in this day and age. And it made me go back to Zenyatta and think, how improbable were those 19 wins when she was reliant on the rest of the field for a majority of that race, when American Pharoah and Justify were not relying on that at all. They made their own trips. And to me, I think what we're going to see from here on out is horses that have natural cruising speed go for big, big money in the sales, Jeff.
Yeah, well, I think that that's true because good horses, as you point out, make their own trips. It's very difficult to have a deep closing great horse because so many things
can go wrong.
Yeah. You can affect your race. But if you go back and look at all the great Triple Crown winners, almost all of them had that tactical speed you talked about. I mean, Justify was on or near the lead every step of the right way in all three of his races. Same could be said for American Pharoah. You go back to Seattle Slew and Affirm. They both were fantastic horses with regards to tactical speed. Secretariat did come from last in the Preakness. He wasn't quite as tactical as some of the others, but he was so good it didn't matter.
Sure.
But I do think Justify is worthy of inclusion in the Triple Crown Club. And there have been some horses that, quite frankly, were going for the Triple Crown that part of me didn't want to win because I didn't think they really should have been allowed in that quote-unquote club. Certainly, if you're undefeated, and certainly what Justify has been able to accomplish qualifies him.
I'll say this. I didn't pick Justify one Triple Crown race. You know this. You picked him since February. My money was on Hofburg. Mm-hmm. At the top of the stretch, I stopped yelling for Hofburg and started yelling for Justify. Because the race fan in me took over as a race fan, and take the handicapping part out of it. Mm-hmm. As a race fan, what does Justify do for our sport?
Well, he put it on us on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Now, it may not be a big deal, but it's something. But I will say this. I think because American Pharoah won 3 years ago, and that was the first time, obviously, since affirmed, I think there was more excitement from a non-racing fan for that horse than this one. It was a much greater accomplishment, I think.
Because of the time between
the
Triple Crown.
Because there were a lot of people who thought it was never going to happen again. And it happened, and there was a great...
I've seen those tweets, yeah.
Right, and
yeah.
It was a great relief to see it happen. And now we come back 3 years later. I mean, I do think Justify would have gotten the same kind of love, if that's the right word,
sure,
from the fan and non-racing fan. Had he been the one to break the streak. But it doesn't really in any way, shape, or form diminishes his accomplishment in my mind. And as a racing fan, you have to put him up there with the greats.
So what does it say about Bob Baffert that he was not only the American Pharoah winning trainer, but he was the Justify winning trainer? He not only got it done with Pharoah, he gets it done again.
I actually ran into Bob this morning. He's back here at Santa Anita. And I mentioned to him that that I thought it was arguably, if not arguably, certainly his greatest training achievement,
yeah,
based on the the landmines he had to dodge in road. Nothing could have gone wrong. He could not have missed one race and gotten here. The only way he got in the race was to win the Santa Anita Derby.
Sure.
Nothing could have gone wrong before that. Otherwise, he would have gotten any points to get in. Then he had to keep the horse at peak form and rush, cram everything. He had to make every breeze count, every gallop count, every move and every decision he made with regards to training this horse through his first start until his last had to be perfect. And he pulled it off. There aren't many trainers that could have done that, if any. And of course, but Bob will tell you is that his experience, not only with American Pharoah, but his other horses through the Triple Crown races, and of course we now know that he is the leading Triple Crown trainer of all time in regards to race among the wins in the Triple Crown races. He edges out Wayne Lucas now. He had to call on all of his experience to do that. And It is a Hall of Fame training job by a Hall of Fame
trainer. Well, you're not kidding. You know. And I'll tell you what, after the dust settled, Richard Migliori here at XBTV had a chance to have a one-on-one conversation with trainer Bob Baffert and asked the two-time Triple Crown winning trainer when he first realized, and this is a long time back, that Justify had maybe a chance to be extraordinary. Listen up.
When I worked him, the first time I worked him at Santa Anita, I worked him 5'8", just really easy, and he kept on going out, like, really impressive, like, those really, you know, effortlessly. Came back, didn't take a deep breath. Rain Van Dyke worked him, he said, wow, man, this horse is really something else. And I said, you know, he said, I've never sat anything like this. And then we worked, gave him a couple gate works easy, and he was doing it in 12, just galloping, you know. And so, but before he ran, that's when I knew I had a plan. Look at, if he wins that, should win his maiden race. There's an allowance race in the book. We run him there. Then we can take a shot. We can take a shot. But you know, Ellie said, well, don't worry about the Derby. You know, you don't have to get in a rush for it. Let's not do, you know, don't be hasty. And I said, no, we'll let him do it. And so it just worked out. I mean, we, you know, that allowance race filled, and Santa Anita was great, you know, with those races. And you know, California, you know, we have a little bit of an edge because of the weather. You know, it's not raining, so we have good weather, so we get to train every day, and so and it's quiet, and so we're right there. You know, we don't have to ship to run or whatever. And so, but I knew before he ran that the he was the Derby horse. And then, and when he won his second out, then I thought he could just do them all. And so that's what we were sort of thinking.
It's just incredible. He never seems to take a backward step, other than the day after the Derby, and so it was made about the foot. But he really just seems to never have a bad day.
No, he's been really, really good. And after the Preakness, I could see he started flourishing. I could tell he looked fitter, because he always looked a little soft, a little heavy. And I haven't weighed him lately because I was afraid to take him out of the barn again, you know. But he's a horse that I'm dying to put the weight on him again to see. But if you can see today, I mean, he just looks incredible.
Well, you bring him out and share him with the reporters and the people. It's just brilliant. And even, you know, goofing around with Mike with him. And I can't believe how fresh he looks this morning.
No, he's bright. He's, you know, I could tell he was a little bit tired yesterday. After a while, everybody came to see him. We had hundreds of people to come to pet him. And he's tough. He won't let you pet him. But he finally gave in. He just let people come up and just pet him and stuff. He was tired. But today, you know, he ate everything. He just eats everything in sight. And I think that's the main thing, that, you know, if he's eating, that means he's feeling pretty good.
I mean, it's remarkable, Bob. Now, I know, just fresh off of winning the Belmont, and probably just want to relax and enjoy this for a moment, but what would be the plan with him now going forward? What races are you maybe looking at going forward in the summer?
You know, I don't know. You know, Elliot and I, we want to wait a week, get him back to Churchill, and just see how, you know, sometimes you give them a week to see how they are. And, you know, right now I don't see any, you know, anything. You know, he's not a horse that you could really let down too much, because then he'd probably blow up, you know. He's an athlete, so I don't know. I just really, we haven't even thought about it. You know, we can't believe we're here. 111 days. Six races, 111 days. It's just,
it's unparalleled. I honestly was waiting for, you know, just something, you know, a horse that doesn't have any of that two-year-old racing foundation. What you've done is absolutely remarkable, and it's remarkable how you share them with the public. And I just want to thank you on behalf of the entire racing community.
Hey, the horse did it. He's a great horse. I just stayed out of his way. I've got a great crew, and we know, you know, when we get a horse like that, we know what we need to do, and if it works out, then it's the high is a high. But the thing is about it is that I think all my experiences from all those Triple Crowns, those big races, I've learned, taken so much from that. So I always remember. I can remember the Silver Charm, Real Quiet, all those. And I sort of trained them the same. I really didn't train them any different. But you know, you just have to stay focused. It's so easy to get caught up. You can't get caught up in the media. You can't get caught up in yourself. Just stay focused, stay humble, and let the horse, you know, I always say opinions die, facts live forever. And the horses, they do all the, you know, they do all the running. They're the athletes.
All right, Jeff, look, where does he go, Bob Baffert, from here? I mean, this is a drop the mic moment almost, but he's in the prime of his training career.
He said 10 years. He says he wants to be doing this 10 more years.
What do you do for an encore of this, though?
That's got to be hard.
I mean, it's not like there's a whole lot more to the peak of the mountain than where you're at.
I understand, but, you know, when he had American Pharoah, Bob said, I'll never have another horse like this again. And then Arrogate came around. And while Arrogate wasn't a three-year-old, there were those who thought he, on his best day, was better or could at least be as good as American Pharoah. Now he gets an undefeated Triple Crown winner. There really isn't much left for him to conquer, let's face it. But he's going to, you know, one thing for sure, he is going to get the pick of the litter from here on in if he doesn't already get that, because he has proven to be the kind of trainer that the guys in the sport who aspire to be the top rung, this is the kind of trainer they're going to want.
Well, then
have.
Let's circle back around to Baffert and Justify. Then what lies ahead with Justify as a drop the mic moment? I mean, look, there's people out there, including me, that say if he retired, I would not be disappointed as a race fan. But I would understand that move. But that's not going to happen.
No, he's going to run again. I was talking again this morning to Bob before our podcast because I wanted to see if there was anything that was like just breaking, you know. And he said the same thing he said a couple of days ago, and that was they really haven't decided what they're going to do. I mean, the plan is to run him again. And my best guess would be to run him twice more, once as a prep for the Breeders' Cup and once for the Breeders' Cup, which would be a race against older horses. And the one thing that Justify hasn't yet done, obviously, is beat older horses. He's going to have that opportunity. They're going to give him that opportunity, but it probably, in my way of thinking anyway, it might not be until the Breeders' Cup. Although I guess there would be a possibility that he could run, say, in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, but I don't know whether they want to run him.
Somebody's going to do it.
On timing alone, it would make sense for the Pennsylvania Derby at Parks to put it up, because that race is, I think it's the third week in September. Yeah. It would be a mile and an eighth, and it would be the perfect springboard to the Breeders' Cup from a timing standpoint. Plus, as you know, Aaron, that racetrack has the opportunity to
slot revenue.
They have an opportunity make the purse a little higher or a lot higher.
I will throw this out there if Santa Anita management is listening. Right. Mm-hmm. Santa Anita, during the fall meet, be a perfect time to celebrate Justify with a race that's a prep for him. Just throwing that out there.
I agree.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And a home court advantage. Now, the one thing Justify has in his corner, like he needs more additions in his corner, he's won at Churchill Downs, Breeders' Cup site, 2018, and he's won on an off track. We're talking November in Kentucky, not guaranteed it's going to be good weather, so he's won on an off track at Churchill Downs. That's got to really be a big bonus in his corner.
But he hasn't run one under the lights yet. I really think that's what's going to be in the future. They want to run him again. They'll probably run him twice, at least twice, but no more than twice. I mean, no less than twice. And I do think that Pennsylvania makes sense.
Where they run him, if they run him, whatever the plan is, it's early to make that plan and know for sure. But no matter what happens from here on out, has he already clinched Horse of the Year?
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing anybody can accomplish in any division more than winning the Triple Crown undefeated. And so he has got that wrapped up. He can't win older horse, even though he could win and beat older horses. They wouldn't give him that. So that's going to be the plan. Now, again, he's worth $75 million. There's an enormous amount of money you have
to
pay.
I'll take the overs on what he's worth right now, but go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that's what Coolmore is going to end up paying for him.
No, that's what they're paying.
Right. And they have, it's an enormous amount of money for insurance to keep him going. So that would be a factor, which is another reason why they, he would definitely retire after his three-year-old year. There was some talk on Twitter that maybe they should try to run him on grass, and it's not that far-fetched, only because what Coolmore will do is they will stand him in Northern Hemisphere time, and then they'll ship him to Southern Hemisphere time so they can kind of double the value there. But if you're going to send him to Australia, for example,
you need a grade one on grass.
Well, they would. it would be nice.
Sure.
Although I don't think it would be necessary because he is by Scat Daddy, so the sire line is grass. So I don't think anybody in Australia, if that's where he would wind up, which I believe he would be, I don't think they're going to worry about him not being able to sire a grass.
If his kids look anything like he does, like appearance-wise, I'm not sure anybody would be disappointed.
I don't think that's going to be an issue.
Before we move on to some of the other horses, I want to talk just a bit of controversy in the Belmont, Jeff.
Right.
Look, some comments came out after the race. There was a concerted effort in a certain camp of trying to make it easier on Justify. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I know, first of all, the arrow is being pointed at Restoring Hope.
Right.
It's funny because Bob Baffert did not want that horse to be in the race. It was not his idea. Basically, it was Gary West who wanted to be in the race because he had a horse that he thought in his own mind, and some of this was fueled by Bob himself earlier in the year, that Restoring Hope might be a really good candidate for the Belmont. And I think West in his own mind thought, okay, I ran him in the wood. He ran third, decent race. Ran him in the Pat Day, shortened up to a one-turn mile, but it was an off track. He couldn't handle it. I think in his own mind, he felt, you know, I'm looking at these other horses, and I think Restoring Hope is probably good enough maybe to run second or third, so why shouldn't I?
But as an owner, he's allowed to think that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Gary was a little bit critical of the ride that he got on his horse, Florent Giroux, and I don't know. That's what it, I mean. As an owner, I'm always critical of the rides that I get when my horse doesn't win.
You're critical of rides on XBTV when we have
right.
live racing. So yeah.
Yeah. So you know, you look at that, and I understand it. But I went back and watched the video of this race from both angles, not only from the NBC angle, which is the overhead,
like a drone
and the clubhouse turn where the horses were coming directly at you. But I also went and looked at the Naira feed, the straight pan shot. And there were none of the horses at any time were impeded or broke stride or had to check. And I'm talking about Bravazo, Tenfold,
sure.
Noble Indy.
Yeah.
Whatever Restoring Hope did or did not do, none of those horses had any issue at all. They weren't blocked. It may have looked like that from the NBC, you know, shot that they showed during the actual race. But if you look at the pan shot, none of those horses had any issue, any trouble. They didn't have a check. And I think this whole idea has been so overblown. It's kind of the conspiracy theory where Bob Baffert entered Restoring Hope so he could be a blocker for Justify. Well, Bob didn't even want to run him, so that story is ridiculous. And then even if it wasn't, or was, Restoring Hope didn't do anything wrong. He went to the outside, and Noble Indy cleared him. It didn't affect Noble Indy at all.
Yeah.
Nothing. So, in fact, if anybody had trouble, it was Noble Indy who actually bothered Vino Rosso on the back stretch. So the whole thing is such an overblown thing. Nothing happened. The best horse won for the reasons that you mentioned earlier in the show, because he had the most tactical speed, the ability to put himself where he needed to be. It wouldn't have mattered if anybody went with him.
Make your own trip. You never have to run
exactly.
into trouble.
Right, right.
By the way, one thing you can guarantee about horse racing today, tomorrow, and 25 years from now, everyone will have an opinion in horse racing, and they're entitled to that opinion.
Yeah,
there has been some controversial opinions about the Belmont.
Yeah,
I think it takes nothing away from the Justify.
One more thing I want to bring up, again, for the conspiracy theory people.
And that's me, by the way, and I still say it takes nothing away from the win.
Gary West said, and I quote, "Everyone looks at things differently. We didn't belong in the race anyway, and that was my fault." That's Gary West. So none of this business about Bob Baffert planning anything.
Well, speaking of the also-rans in the Belmont and maybe some horses that did not run in the Belmont, Jeff, a Justify gets a well-deserved vacation.
Yeah.
Give me some of the names that we might need to concentrate in on coming up with the three-year-old crop.
I think Good Magic's still a really, really good horse.
Yeah.
I really do. And I think that they'll point him towards some of those big races, whether it's the Haskell or the Travers or both, things like that. By the way, Axeman, my favorite horse.
Sure.
Who, by the way, is not
your
undefeated.
Your second favorite horse. Well, don't lie. Okay. Don't come on. That's all right, a little bit. Second favorite horse.
My favorite horse who's currently going to be racing soon.
Okay, there you go.
He runs Saturday at Churchill Downs.
Yep.
By the way, he won the Sir Barton on Preakness Day. The horse that he beat by 11 or 12 lengths came back and won the Easy Goer. So that form's kind of holding up. So I'm really interested to see what Axeman will be able to do at Churchill on Saturday. So there's another one.
And I was really happy with Hofburg's third.
Absolutely.
I thought Vino Rosso ran really well.
Can I tell
also?
You anything about Hofburg, though? I've now gone back and watched all of his races. I do think he's a very good horse.
Yeah.
I think he could absolutely win the Travers. No doubt in my mind he can win that race.
Yeah.
But he is a little bit more one pace than I would have cared for. I don't think he has that zing, that acceleration that I thought maybe he had. Doesn't make him a bad horse. He's a good horse. But I think that's the one thing that maybe he lacks in his arsenal is that he doesn't really have that blast. He's more of a grinder. Good grinder,
grinder. He has yet to get a race flow to maybe show us that late kick, opinion.
I thought he got it in the Florida Derby, but okay.
Well, he did get in the Florida Derby. He showed it. Audible was just better that day.
Yeah.
It was his second start off a long layer.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not to argue Hofburg time.
Right.
What's Gronkowski? What is he to us?
I watched Gronkowski's races on video when he was in England, and he was just running. He was running on all weather, and he was running a mile. And he looked like a really good horse to me, but I couldn't classify him here. I didn't know about a mile and a half. I didn't know about dirt. Now, he trained well on dirt, but he didn't train well with dirt being kicked in his face, so that was an issue, but he ran really well. And by the way, a lot of people say he got left at the gate. No, he did not get left at the gate.
That's England for you, though.
Yeah, he broke slowly.
Yeah.
Not terribly.
No, but the
but broke slowly. It wasn't like he stood there and spotted the field 15 lengths.
Right.
He broke slowly and was very slow to get into stride. And once he got into stride, I thought he ran great.
Boy, that was the best thing that could have happened for racing from a mainstream standpoint.
Yeah.
Justify wins and Gronkowski's second.
So,
everybody watching that doesn't know racing knows Gronkowski's
right.
last name.
Oh,
so,
So Gronkowski's, he's going to go around. And by the way, Mendelssohn's going to come over here, not for the Breeders' Cup, but much sooner than that. He might even run
turf or dirt.
Dirt, and he might run as early as the Dwyer. So, I mean, it's a fun time. This is a good time for all the three-year-olds not named Justify because they can kind of clean up, kind of get their winning spirit back, kind of get their confidence back, and then worry about Justify in the fall.
All right, so other than the Belmont Stakes, what a fantastic race card at Belmont Park last Saturday, Jeff.
Yeah.
There were six other grade ones. What did we learn, and who was the most impressive?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, that was a great day of racing.
I thought it was pretty formful for the most part, too. A lot of the big names and well-backed horses showed up in a big way.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it was just a good day of racing. I mean, did you have a favorite winner at all? I mean, did you have anybody that you really kind of thought, now, that was good? Or that? I mean, to me, the filly that was fantastic.
Baffert's filly.
I've gone brain dead on that, you know. But other than that, it was just a great day. And hopefully, they'll all stay healthy. We'll see them at Saratoga.
I don't want to dominate the show with Bob Baffert and his other races. He's got Axeman that should win on Saturday night.
Right.
Jeff, what are we looking forward to now that the Belmont's over? We've got a summertime on XBTV. We've got a lot to look forward to of great racing, not coast to coast, and a brand new Saturday show. What are we looking forward to here at XBTV?
Well, of course, the Black Book Express that we had been taping on Tuesday, we're going to move that to Wednesday now because there is no more Triple Crown Express. Might move it back to Tuesday when we pick up Breeders' Cup Express. We've got expresses all over. We want a regular train station here.
Man,
you know
we do.
Okay.
I'm a conductor a lot of days.
Thursday, we'll have the Saturday Stakes preview, the podcast. Of course, we always do that, previewing the Saturday Stakes races. And then, of course, Race Day Express on Saturday. That's going to be fun. We had our debut show last Saturday on Belmont Day, and we'll be doing that every Saturday morning, and we were a little early last week because of the early post time at the Belmont, but 8 a.m. California time, West Coast time, 11 Eastern time. From here on in, we're going to have our preview show, kind of a college a football game day type of show. Hopefully everybody tunes in and watches it on xptv.com.
And don't forget this Sunday at Santa Anita, they're going to celebrate Father's Day. I know a lot of listeners, a lot of race fans are dads. Happy Father's Day to one and all, and we're going to have a whiskey tasting at Santa Anita. Tell me that's not right in my wheelhouse.
That is right in your wheelhouse, yeah.
Happy Father's Day to one and all, and congratulations to the mothers out there as well, and to Justify and all the connections. And there was a lot of them. That was a full winner's circle, Jeff, for the Belmont Stakes. Undefeated 13th Triple Crown champion.
I think they comprised 3% of the entire attendance.
Yeah, I think you had to square down the phone in order to get everybody in that win picture. Appreciate you listening to us here at XBTV on demand, online, for free, all week long. That's at XBTV.com. For Jeff Siegel, I'm Aaron Vercruzzi. That was Walking the Backstretch for June 12th.